and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted Brewer and Austin Brewer Show. Austin's not with us today. I'm going to explain that in a little bit of time. Hopefully he'll be back with us tomorrow. He's had some serious issues happen to him over the weekend that are from an undisclosed source. We don't know. Austin on Friday afternoon didn't feel very well, and he went into the doctor's office, have a vitamin C IV and some antibiotics, and they contacted me, and they told me what the symptoms were, so I told them that he needed to be immediately admitted into the emergency room because he was having chest pain and difficulty in breathing. Now, what happened is this. He had some type of bacteria get into his blood from an undisclosed source. We have no idea how this has happened. And this bacteria attacked the heart lining, the pericardial sac around his heart, and started filling this area around his heart with fluid, causing the heart to expand and have tremendous pressure on the other organs in the body, which caused a condition known as pericarditis. Now, rather than giving you the incredible details of all of this, I'm not going to do that. It was pretty awful to the point of him being told that he was going to be medevaced via helicopter to the cardiac unit at Florida Hospital in Orlando on Friday night after we got to the emergency room with him. And yes, friends, it was that bad. So in the middle of all of this, I realized that I had to take authority over this in prayer. And I realized that this was not going to be my movie for the night, and I wasn't going to deal with this. And so we started texting out people that are immediate and close family friends, and we got a huge prayer chain going, and we literally saved his life. I mean, it was to that point. It was that bad. And it's by the grace of God and God alone that he's alive. And I hold it all to the power of prayer, all of it. And also we had some very, very competent physicians who had some intervention they could do at that point in time for his heart and for his chest. And so he's alive today. And the swelling around his heart had gotten so severe that his heart couldn't pump properly. And basically he was in a cardiac, he was basically having a pericarditis-induced heart attack. And so it was crazy. The whole story was just crazy. It happened within 30 minutes after I got off the show with Dave Hodges on Friday night at 4:30. By 5 o'clock I was at the doctor's office with him. He was in the car, and I was transporting him directly to the hospital, and I knew that he was in trouble. And so we got him to the hospital, got him in the emergency room immediately. And by the grace of God and because of prayer, we changed the physical reality of time space. I mean, I believe that with all of my heart, that prayer saved his life. We literally, the friends and people that got together with me on this prayer, we literally walked on water that night. And I mean that, I don't mean that, you know, I mean that in a metaphorically way, of course, but I'm talking about the stand that we took against what was happening to Austin. So he was in excruciating pain. By Saturday morning, he was doing considerably better for the medication they had given him. And then by Wednesday, Sunday morning, he was even doing better. And then they told him that he should be released today, but he's going to have to be on this medicine for the heart for a while, and he has to massively limit his physical activities. Now, how this bacterium got into his blood, they have not been able to determine that. I had one of my friends call me up, and they said, "Do you think it's something from a chemtrail or whatever?" I'm like, I have no idea what this is, and I'm not going to start making wild speculations about this. All I know is this thing came on sudden within a couple of days, and it almost took my son's life. So, you guys, I want to thank you so much. I know Dave Hodges mentioned this last night. I want to thank you for the prayer and the standing that you guys took with me over the weekend, for those of you who knew about this, and that Austin shall live. And so, Lord willing, he'll be out of the hospital today, and he's doing much, much better, and he just cannot believe this has happened to him, because Austin's an athlete. He's in incredible condition, and it's just one of those things that just wasn't supposed to happen. You know, it was a bad movie reel that we had to replace real fast. And so it's one of those things that, guys, thank you for your prayers and thank you for standing with me in the aggregate about this. But guys, listen to me for a second. Today is a show that I'm going to be covering a lot of news on, but I also wanted to share with you for just a few moments about the power of prayer again. You know, I've gone over this in detail on Doug Hagman's show, and you can hear the entire broadcast. And I talked about how when we pray, we actually form a scalar wave. Now, let me go ahead and back that up just a second, because I want to share with you how important prayer is and praying on a daily basis out loud is again. When you pray to God every single day as a Christian, you develop a relationship with Him. He wants a relationship with you. That's what He wanted with Adam and Eve. He wanted to walk in the cool of the garden with Adam and Eve. I mean, he wanted to hang with them, so to speak. I mean, they were created in his image. So he wanted the ability to have fellowship with them. That's kind of why we're put here to begin with. Because Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes in the last few verses that to serve God and obey his commandments is the sole duty of man. And we have to understand that. And God wants the relationship. Because he knows each of us after we've been saved. He's got that. You know, we're saved. We're born again. He knows who we are. But that doesn't mean he's developed a relationship with us. The only way you develop the relationship with God is you've got to be reading his word on a daily basis, or at least on a regular basis, and you've got to be praying every single day or talking or communing with God. In the morning, we get up. You know, I have my purple stick first thing in the morning, and I sit there and I check my emails, and I make sure all the kids are up, and I'm like, okay, guys, it's time to pray. And Harrison, a couple of times, because he's in college, he'll say to me, you know, he's 17 years old, Dad, I want to sleep in today. And I say, no, you can sleep in a little bit on Saturday morning, but we've got to pray. The prayer takes priority over the sleeping for a teenager, too. Everything's based on prayer. So God knows us. So when I pray, and I'm going to try to get through this without getting all choky on you guys today too, but when we pray, God hears us because he knows us, especially if we have a relationship with us, and he's quick to do things for us. That's the truth. He really does. He can change things almost immediately. I can tell you story after story after story in my own life. But when you have two radio waves, I'm going to go back to the physics part of this now. When you have two radio waves, like an FM modulation wave, like 91.1 or whatever, it's a frequency. If you take another radio wave and you lay on top of that first radio wave on the opposite poles, these waves cancel themselves out. The new GMC trucks have that technology built in. They have the ability, like Bose headphones, to cancel out static with white noise. That's why they work, because they lay each other on top of each other and it cancels out the frequency. Now, when you take two radio waves and you cancel those two radio waves out, you form what's called a longitudinal wave. The longitudinal wave is extremely powerful, but it's just a wave until you lay it on top of another longitudinal wave. When you lay two of those waves on top of each other, you create what's called a scalar wave. The HAARP installation in Alaska is called a phased array installation. This is what they do there. They create scalar waves and scalar technology. They beam this energy all over the place, and they heat up the ionosphere and do the things they do with that from a military aspect. But these scalar waves can also pick up the energy from the eddies in the Earth and have be discharged on the other side of the planet, creating huge explosions. A lot of people believe this is what happened with Tesla in his Tunguska Tower. When he turned and activated it, he was trying to detonate something on the North Pole. It shot over the top of the planet, and it did Tunguska, when hundreds of thousands of acres of land just were wiped out, just flattened out immediately from the explosion, from the discharge of the scalar wave. The military now has scalar wave technology, which they can lay waste to vast regions of continents from satellite-based platforms. This was discussed in detail on Jesse Ventura's show, Conspiracy Theory, by the man who developed the technology and worked with NASA on Star Wars, who was killed, I believe, but he was definitely dead even before that show aired. Now, the thing about all of this is, I'm going back to prayer again now. When we pray, our prayer initiates a scalar wave. It literally changes the fabric of time-space. This is how prayer works. This is why it's so powerful. That's why you're not supposed to pray against other people. That's a form of witchcraft when you want to pray that bad things happen to people. You can't do that because you're trying to control things the way the witches do and the warlocks do and their seances, when they sit in a circle and they get a picture of somebody and they start staring at this picture and start chanting these things against these people in this demonic service they do. You don't want to be involved in that. You have to pray for people's eyes to be opened and for God's will to be done in their life, and for them to be exposed. That's all you got to pray, and God will take care of the rest. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. See, you can't harbor the bitterness and the anger and all of this stuff in your heart against these people that have done things against you or against the people that are being controlled by the evil one on the planet. You can't do that. You've got to walk in forgiveness and love. That's why Jesus talked about love, 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 love. Because love changes the literal frequency of this holographic universe that we live in to one of peace and of harmony. that's what's so important about this, is that we have to live in peace and harmony and love with one another and forgiveness with one another. If we did that, we wouldn't have the wars, we wouldn't have the killings, we wouldn't have the rapes, we wouldn't have all of this stuff going on, because we'd be living in harmony with ourselves and with God. That's the goal. That's why Jesus said, you've got to learn to walk in love. Love is everything to Christ. I mean, God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. And we've done extensive teaching on what the cross did and how, because God and Jesus Christ are multidimensional and they're omnipresent, they're in all timelines, all at the same time. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega. He is all timelines at all places. When Satan was cast from the top dimension where God is, where the Most High reigns, he was cast into the lower dimensions. Now, he still controls these lower dimensions because he has authority over them, but God has authority over Satan. But when Jesus was set back into time and he was hung on the cross, his blood, which is much better than the blood of Cain or Abel, or we talked about this in the book of Hebrews. I've done extensive teaching on this. I don't have time to do this in a one-hour show. His blood continually through the step-up transformer coil, which is our DNA. It's like a Tesla transformer step-up coil, transmits our healing frequencies through all time-space through scalar waves. That's how it works. The same thing I've been talking about earlier. That's how we're continually restored back to the cross, and we continually remain the righteousness of Christ. That's why the Bible says that he died once and for all. There remaineth no, there's no longer reason to do sacrifices. That's why I've said repeatedly, why do Christians want to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem? You know, the Old Testament is gone. It's Old Testament. It's gone. It's faded away. It's what the Word says. We're under a new covenant now with God Almighty through Christ. Now, that doesn't mean we should ignore the Old Testament, because Jesus himself said, not one tittle shall be taken away until all of these things are accomplished. But the thing that we don't get is this, because God is omnipresent, the time existence of him still being on the cross is still there, maintaining the sacrifice forever. He's also been raised from the dead, which is the next part of the timeline. Lucifer can't go back and undo what he did by having Christ crucified, because he's no longer omnipresent. He can't go back in time. He's not in that dimension anymore. He doesn't have that authority. He's been cast down. So he can't undo or unscramble the eggs that he did by crucifying Christ. Now, don't you know that if Lucifer could undo that, if he could not have crucified the Son of Glory, he never would have. If he had known what he was doing in the great scheme of things, he never would have done that. See, we've got this giant war going on in the heavenlies that people don't see. A giant war that continues in these different dimensions that we don't see, that we're not aware of. These realities that are around us are just different than the realities that we're in, and we don't see them because we can't see certain spectrums of visible light. That's why when the Old Testament once, I forgot who the Old Testament person was who was praying, and they opened up his eyes, and he could see these, just all of these angels all about them, just standing there and, you know, ready to fight. See, this is what we have. We're in a supernatural world. That's why I don't like going to see movies which glorify the occult or glorify haunted houses or glorify any of this stuff, because this unseen realm that we have around us is real and it's true. That's why we have to gird ourselves up with the full armor of God. This is the problem that we've done in the United States. We as Christians have stopped being Christians. We as Christians have stopped raising little Christians. We've allowed the world to come in and to take authority away from us that we've been given by the cross and by God Almighty. And so we have this authority through the Holy Spirit, by the covenant we have with God through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, but we don't exercise the authority. We stand back and just allow everything to happen as it happens, and we don't say, no, this is not going to be part of my movie today. If I'm in a hologram, I might as well decide on what movie's going to be I'm going to be playing today. See, and that's the biggest problem that we have, is we don't understand the power of prayer. Because when you release prayer, you literally release dunamis, dynamite is what the word is in the Greek, and you literally change the very fabric of time-space because of the prayer. Now, these satanic people, they do the same thing with the prayers they do to Lucifer to control the attention field and the energy in the holographic matrix that we are in. So this thing gets really esoteric very, very quickly as far as how it works. But this is why these Kabbalists do all of this stuff in Hollywood. It's very, very obvious what they do there. You know, this is also what's happening with transhumanism. You know, we're being inspired by this artificial intelligence, just basically running the program that's being controlled by the Rothschild globalists, to destroy human beings and to destroy God's creation. These Satan worshipers who glorify Lucifer by killing these children and drinking blood and all the stuff that happens that we don't want to think about because it's so horrible, they say to Lucifer, let me participate in your power, and they'll serve you and feed these entities. Remember, Satan runs about as a roaring lion. Apparently, he gets energy from all of these sacrifices that are being done, including the abortions that are being done in the United States, some 60 million now. The Hollywood music industry is the best example of this. It's obvious that these Kabbalistic teachings show them how they can call up demons and perform rituals to feed these demonic entities through sacrifice. And in turn, these demons, Lucifer, or whatever these entities are you want to call them, allows the physical reality to change to accommodate the wishes of the person or the persons along that are doing the ritual. That is why so many of the Hollywood people wear the red Kabbalah string around their wrist. They've literally given themselves over to Lucifer and to the demons. And this is what's going on when we had the opening of the CERN tunnel just a few weeks ago in Switzerland. This was a giant druid Kabbalistic ceremony worshiping and glorifying Lucifer. This is how blatant they've gotten with it now that they do this with the world leaders present. This is what Bohemian Grove is all about. This is what Moloch is all about. They've learned through the druids. This has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. It goes way back to the Tower of Babel. And in fact, if you watch the show by Brad Metzler, which all you need to do, it's all free, instead of, you know, wasting time watching TV tonight, pull up The Spear of Destiny by Brad Metzler. You know, Brad Metzler decoded The Spear of Destiny. Watch the entire episode, and the last 10 minutes make the entire episode worth watching. He goes into a person, he meets with a man who basically was a bodyguard to one of the world elite. And Brad Metzler had this guy checked out, so he knew he was who he said he was. And the guy wouldn't even meet anywhere with him but in a church, you know, where the power of the cross was and the power of the blood. And he talked to Brad, and he said, my old boss is the man, he tells the whole story, you can watch it yourself, who stole the spear of destiny, the spear that went into Jesus' side, from Hitler, and basically has it in his possession now. They're planning on rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. They're going to build the Holy of Holies again. And their man, the Antichrist, are going to go in there and shed his blood, and they're going to take over the world and ordain him, you know, basically ruler of the planet. And then Brad Metzler looked at him and he goes, well, he said, do you believe this? He goes, it doesn't matter whether we believe this or not. This bodyguard says, this is what they believe, and they're willing to die for it. And then he said, he goes, these guys call themselves the Benign D Nephilim, sons of the fallen. They trace their lineage all the way back to Lucifer in the Tower of Babel. You can watch the show. I'm not making this stuff up. And see, this is who's running the planet. These bloodline families that feel as though they have the right to do whatever they want to do to you and me. They consider us to be subhuman, and they consider themselves to be the spawn of Satan. This is just, I know it sounds crazy, guys. I know it sounds nuts. And if you're not a Christian, you're listening to me right now, you're probably thinking I'm nuts. And that's okay. It doesn't matter to me anyhow. I mean, I've been called worse. But the thing about it is that this is who they are. So whether you believe it or I believe it or anybody believes it, this is what they do. But here's the thing they don't understand. They don't understand that if we as Christians get together in aggregate, we can control all of them. And that's what they're afraid of. Because I guess in a subtle way, they do understand that. That's why they're doing everything to destroy Christian family, Christian faith, Christian religion, the worshiping of Yahweh. They don't want us to do any of that because they don't want us controlling the energy field on the planet by doing that with God through love and through Jesus Christ. They don't want that. But see, we have to understand, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We are not of this world. We have been set apart. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord, the game is over. You win. Now you're in covenant with the Most High. He connects you into his top dimension, and you have authority over the lower dimensions. Through the Holy Spirit, you're connected. You now have authority over them because you are now in covenant with God Almighty through Jesus Christ, and it allows you to control your reality. This is what prayer is all about. This is what words are all about. This is what thoughts are all about. You know, we control our physical reality because we are connected through the Holy Spirit to the Creator of the universe. This is what we don't understand. This is why we have forgotten who we are. The power of the cross has changed everything. The problem is the Catholic Church came in with Constantine in 323 and they just completely messed it up by bringing in all the pagan worship and taking out the book of Enoch and a bunch of other stuff in the texts and changing a bunch of stuff. This is when it all started going sideways with the Catholic Church until Martin Luther finally had enough. He goes, you guys are selling indulgences. He goes, you can't do this. These are get out of hell free cards. Do what you want to do on this planet and you can buy your way out of hell, buy your friend's way out of purgatory, which doesn't even mention that we don't talk about it in the Bible. Now all this stuff is just made up. And see, Martin Luther had enough of it. He says, don't do this. Don't allow yourself to be caught up in this. This is not what Christianity is about. Remember, this is 1,000 years later. This is all this is going on with Martin Luther, over 1,000 years. So this Catholic Church got this incredible stronghold on the entire planet through feudalism and kept us in the Dark Ages for, gosh, over 1,000 years. And see, people need to understand what the Catholic Church is. Okay, it started off great as the first Christian church in the first century, but then it got completely and totally just taken over by these pagans. And now we got a pope who was involved, who was a communist, he was a priest down in South America who was basically one of their warrior class priests who was involved with communism and the taking over of Argentina and Buenos Aires. I've been down there, I've talked to the people and I've interviewed them. They absolutely hate the guy and they said he was absolutely involved in Operation Condor and he disappeared a whole bunch of people in his church whenever they talked about stuff. They used to take people, throw them off the back of C-130 planes or whatever planes they were using back then and out in the ocean just to get rid of them. You know, this is what he is. This is the priest who's involved. You know, so we've got to realize that this guy is bad news and that the Catholic Church is getting worse and worse and worse. Now, you tie that together with the Rothschild Banking Cartel, the Bilderberger Group, the Council of 300. All of these people are involved in trying to take over the planet. Now, Russia and China apparently are standing against these groups now, which is kind of sad because the United States should have stood against them. But in 1913, we were completely and totally compromised with the passage of the Federal Reserve Act in our country. And now they own us lock, stock, and barrel because of the bankruptcy of 33 and the Exchange Stability Fund in 34. And they control us, control our treasury through the Exchange Stability Fund, which is the black ops, which is the shadow government, which allows the money coming in from Afghanistan, the trillion a year through the sale of opium and heroin to the world, to feed all of these black op operations. I mean, this thing is so corrupt to the core, it's almost hard to believe. If you read the book Operation Gladio, The Unholy Alliance Between the CIA, the Catholic Church, and the Vatican, and the Mafia, you'll get a picture of what's going on. So that's where we are right now in the United States, because they want to control everything about what we're doing. And then what we've done, we have to realize that we have to reestablish control of this planet, our reality, this holographic existence that we have on this planet where everything's basically energy. But we have to do it because we've got to take back control. We have to learn that we can't give control of our lives to our government, to the people that are there that are evil. You know, we've got such a big percentage of Congress and the Senate now that are pedophiles, alcoholics, drug addicts, all of the sins that you can possibly imagine up there. And they're the ones that are making the laws that are controlling us. And that's how these controllers control us, is through them right now with the United States. And they're trying to dismantle our Constitution with things like the NDAA, and the Patriot Act. Now, what we have to understand is that we can no longer give control to the government of the bad people. If you've got Congress guys that are voting for all of this crazy stuff, or senators in your district, you've got to get rid of them. You've got to get them out. Because what we've done, we've given control to the government. By doing so, we're able to blame shift and say it wasn't our fault, our representative didn't do right. The government then gives control to the military. The military gives the control to the intelligence community, to the CIA. The CIA has been for years controlled by black magicians and witchcraft. We know that. They got a lot of that from the German government. They were controlled by the black flame and stuff like that, which is what these guys say they worship, which is Lucifer. They give it over to the black magicians, who then give it to the demons, who give it to the AI computer, and they're pushing this all into transhumanism by controlling the holographic field. And if we understand the game that they're doing, we can stop it, but we have to take responsibility for who we vote for. If the government tells you to do something that's wrong, you just don't do it. You know, we don't have to do it. Just like your politicians, you know, they tell us to do what they say, but we don't have to do what they say. We just get rid of them. You know, we have to stop all of these endless stupid wars. We've got to love one another. We've got to respect one another. You know, this is one of the reasons John Lennon was killed, because he's writing about all these songs all the time about loving one another and who the government really was and what they were really doing. The CIA doesn't want those songs going out. Michael Jackson and probably a plethora of other people were killed because they started waking up. Look at Prince a few weeks ago. See, they don't want us learning the truth and having these stars that they've used to program us with, these Hollywood elite, these music people, they call them, to be given all of this notoriety and, you know, and become so famous to turn around then and start saying, hey, wait a minute, you've been lied to. This whole thing's a lie. You've got to wake up. They don't want them to do that because they have too much authority, too much power they were given because they're being used to program us. I have asked so many people. I was in the hospital with Austin on yesterday, and you know, he was doing better, and you know, and so I had a nurse walk in, and she's from she's from the Dominican Republic, and we start talking to her, and she's absolutely hates Donald Trump, and I told her, I said, well, you know, Hillary, you know, is supported Bill, you know, with the raping of all of these women. She goes, well, I know. I said, okay. I said, you know, Hillary killed all those people in Benghazi. She goes, well, yeah, I know. And I said, Hillary was involved in Whitewater and Vince Foster and Travelgate and all of the other stuff. She goes, yeah, I know. And I said, well, there were 100 people ended up dying who worked for the Clintons, you know, involved with them that died strange deaths, including Vince Foster. She goes, well, yeah, I know. And I said, Bill Clinton said that he's like had sex with 2,000 women, and he's like he was on the jet with this guy with this pedophile stuff going on, you know. And she goes, well, yeah, I know. And I'm like, okay, you know all of this stuff, but you're still going to vote for Hillary. And I said, then finally I told her, I said, well, you know she's a witch. She goes, yeah, I know. And Austin and I both started laughing. I mean, he was feeling better. And I said, and you're still voting for her? She goes, yeah, yeah, I am. I'm going to vote for you because I don't like Trump. And I said, well, no, what you're doing is you're angry because you're from Hispanic descent and he wants to build a wall. She goes, no, 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 I'm from the Dominican Republic. I don't care about that. She goes, I just want somebody in there that, you know, that basically, you know, is going to keep the status quo the way it is now, and we don't want to have a lot of changes, et cetera, et cetera. And I just looked at her and I said, wow. I said, okay, okay, whatever. And so she walked out of the room, and I said, you know, it doesn't make any difference what you say. Even if they know that Hillary is a career criminal, even if they know that she's a witch, even if they know she supported Bill in the raping of all of these women, even if you know all of these facts about her, they're still going to vote for her. And Austin goes, it's really weird. And I said, yeah, I've never seen anything like it before. See, that's why we are where we are in the United States, because we've given up our authority as believers, and we've gone in and we've succumbed to all of this stuff now, and it's all okay with us. We don't have to really be concerned because we think we can do whatever we want to do and it's going to be okay, and nothing else matters. I mean, it really kind of blows your mind when you stop and think about it. In fact, it was an interesting article Steve sent me here today, and it was I'm going to read part of it to you. And it says, Christians must take the blame for allowing our enemy, Lucifer, to erect strongholds within our lives. Our silence and a so what attitude have allowed his presence in our nation. Every time we don't take a strong stand for biblical truth, we weaken our defenses. This is a worldwide happening, and Christians everywhere are being silenced. Every time a law is enacted that legalizes things which God abhors, shame on Christians to remain silent and stay on the side of Satan by condoning evil. Jesus told us to spread the gospel, and some Christians are doing that, which is a good thing. Oddly enough, it seems as if we are only going to foreign countries to spread God's truth. No matter where you live on a mission field. Be sure that you are armed for the battle, taking the right place in your own neighborhood. The supernatural battle rages in every land, every day, all the time. God has not become weak, but Christians have. If we don't stay sharp in studies God's word, and I'll add, we must pray, we become blind to the wiles of the enemy. Instead of standing strong against the evil around us, we fight among ourselves. Instead of understanding the importance of salvation through Christ alone, we argue about petty things like, is this music acceptable in a worship service, or are the kids having fun when they come here? Instead of fighting against demonic evil, many Christians practice yoga, which invites demons in, which is true. Depends on what type of, what you're doing with it all. Instead of arming themselves with weapons of warfare found in God's word, we rely on secular TV to interpret the Bible. The enemy is using all of his weapons to defeat us, and shame on us for giving him ammunition. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12. Start learning right now to use the weapons of God and recognize the enemy and the fight and fight the battle with God's power. Okay, guys, and this is what we need to understand. That article was brought to us, part of it. I've only read part of it by Ron Graham. But the whole thing about it is that you've got to understand something. I just got off the phone with a dear friend of mine who's worked in Christian ministries, TV ministries, for the past 20 years. I've been involved in some Christian ministries now, TV ministries and churches, for over 30 years. And I'm not saying they're all like this, but the vast majority of the Christian ministries have reduced you to a bread, a loaf of bread. They don't care about you. Now, don't get mad at me. Don't hang up the phone or however you're listening today, or turn the computer off and say, well, I don't like what he just said. Now, I'm not saying all of them. The majority of them have, that I've worked with and that I've seen. I had a dear friend of mine last year. He came over to see me, and this guy was best man at my wedding. Okay, I've known him for 40 years. Actually, over 40 years. And he said to me, he was supporting this Christian ministry, and they were so sending him these letters every month, you know, thanking him for the money that he was sending. And he was basically being invited to come at this meeting they were having at the church. You know, and he went there once a year. And I asked him, I said, have you met the head pastor of this? And he goes, well, no. But he writes me letters all the time. And I told Gene, I said, Gene, I said, this guy isn't writing you letters. That's a computer-generated letter. They've got a funnel they drop you through, and they get as much money as they can using letters and picking certain phrases you write in the letters or certain prayer requests, kicking them back to you, and then they can get more money from you when they send the letter back using those phrases. And I said, this is the marketing technique that was developed back in the 70s, and they continue to use it today. And I said, this is not a letter from him, and you've never met the guy, but, you know, he has these people now who contact you and may even give you a phone call if you give enough money to get additional funds from you. And I said, but in the event when your mom dies, I said, I can pretty much guarantee you if you call them up, they're not going to send somebody here as a pastor to do the funeral or to preach a eulogy. They don't do that. And I've been involved with these guys, and guys, the level of corruption that I've seen behind the scenes is staggering to my mind. It blows my mind. And I'm not saying they're all like that, but from what I've seen, about 90% of them are like that. Now, there's 10% of them that are out there that are good. And here's what I always tell you guys, and listen to me for a second. If you don't ever hear anything else that I say, support your local church. Find a church that you can go to, that you can get fed the Word of God, a preacher who's awake, who knows what he's talking about, who doesn't capitulate to the woes and the cares of this world, who's not a big anti-Christian and says all kinds of bad things about it. Don't do that. Don't get involved with people like Jeremiah Wright who want to go and curse the United States. I mean, don't get involved with people like that. Go to a good Christian church and realize that the bulk of your Christian growth is going to be from your own Bible study and from your reading of the Word and from prayer. And understand that. And if you're going to support Christian ministries, support them locally where they'll make a difference, where you know where the money goes. A lot of these guys that I know, it's all about the plane, the G3, the G4, the G5 they buy, the 20, the 30, the 40, the 50, the $60 million they spend on an aircraft. It's about how many suits they can have. I mean, I had one preacher that I knew, and he had multiple planes and had a Rolls Royce and had a Phantom and had a Bentley. I mean, he had every car you could possibly imagine. But then he gets caught up in this giant pedophile scandal, and he was having sex with boys that were 16 years age and older. He was taking them out as a mentor on the road, and he was basically sodomizing them. You say, well, I can't believe that happened. That really did happen, okay? I could tell you story after story like that. And he's a huge TV evangelist. To this day, he's still on TV. And guys, listen to me. That's not of God. None of that stuff's of God. It's all of Lucifer. These guys get caught up in the cares and the worries of the flesh, and they start doing what they want to do for themselves, not for Jesus Christ. I mean, I've seen it all. I've seen the homosexual stuff in the ministries. I've seen gun running, drug running on private jets, money laundering. I've seen, it's awful, okay? So keep the money at the local churches. In fact, my pastor I talked to a few years ago, and he goes, man, how in the world, if you've seen all this stuff, how in the world have you been able to keep your faith? And I said, because my faith is not in man. My faith is in the Son of God, Yeshua. My faith is in Yahweh. my faith because I've been born again through the power of the love of Jesus Christ and of Yahweh. I said, I've been born again. I was changed back in 1979. I never looked back. I've never changed what I've been as a Christian, but I'm awake and I know what's going on in the real world. And the first few times I actually got involved with behind the scenes stuff in churches, and I saw things going on that I didn't think would be possible from Christian people, it shocked me. You know, and now I've seen so much, and I'm 60 years old, it doesn't shock me anymore. And the sad part about it is the reality of it now is so blatant to me of what these people do and these lifestyles they have. I mean, if you want to read a book, there's a book out by Trey Smith. I'm not going to mention the guy's name that he talks about. There's no point. You can read the book. And it's called Thieves, T-H-I-E-V-E-S, by Trey Smith, T-R-E-Y, Smith, S-M-I-T-H. Of course, you got to spell Smith. But you can get it online. It's $20, and you can read a whole book on this and what went on behind the scenes of this one national TV evangelist that is still on the air. Now, are they all as bad as this book? Absolutely not. Okay, this book is bad. In fact, I had to skim through parts of it, which didn't deal with a lot of the stuff that I was interested in. So I just wanted to read it because I respected this guy because he put some really cool videos out on multiple dimensional and the hologram and stuff like that we're in. And I wanted, you know, he was promoting the book, and I thought I'm going to read this because this is a first-hand experience book. He wrote it in the first person, and this is what he went through with this TV evangelist. So, you know, here's the thing. This letter that I just read a minute ago, it's true. We have allowed this to happen in our country. We have allowed a witch to get the Democratic nomination. I mean, she talks to Eleanor Roosevelt, by her own admission, in Verbindung, in some type of sorcery tie. Bill Clinton talks about his wife's talking to Eleanor Roosevelt, and Ty talks to her ghost. You know, I mean, are you joking me? So this is who we want in the White House? Are you joking me? But apparently we have become so separated from Jesus Christ in this country and so separated from Yahweh himself that we've turned to the evil side to be part of this new world order. And we can't allow this. And see, this is why I wanted to just kind of share with you for a few minutes, you know, what happened this weekend and what I've seen. The people that I talked to at the hospital, they're voting for Clinton. Austin's literally miraculous recovery by the grace of God. Guys, it was a miracle. A total, complete miracle. And I'm standing there, I got my hands laid on him in the doggone emergency room. I mean, these guys are running around getting choppers prepped. I mean, this is crazy what's going on. And I just laid my hands on him. I took authority of the situation. I started praying out loud. Everybody's looking at me like I'm absolutely insane. I could absolutely care less. I didn't care if they were in my movie at that point or not, because they were fixing to get a real change right now. Real is a movie reel. The old-fashioned movies had the reels they stuck up when they weren't digital, and they actually played the reels. We were changing the reel on that movie now, and period, amen. I wasn't dealing with that reel. See, that's what we have to do. We have to change the reel. We've got to change the reel. That's why Donald Trump, and oh, dear Jesus, dear Yahweh, I pray, Yahshua, that he's for real, because I believe that he is. I believe that Trump's for real. I've got to believe that. I can't believe that God's going to let us go down this slippery path of the descent into the bowels of hell with Hillary Clinton. I mean, it's been bad enough with Barack Obama for 7.5 years. I can't, you know, then with George W. before that, and with Bill Clinton before that, and with the CIA wonder boy, George H., with his disastrous thing running the Reagan administration for 8 years. I mean, we've been under this assault for over 30 years by these people. And guys, it's time for a real change, a movie change. We've got to change this. We've got to restore what we once had in the United States. And we've got to restore Yeshua to his rightful place and Yahweh to the rightful place as the throne above this country. We don't need to rebuild a temple in Israel to start doing sacrifices again. Jesus Christ died once and forever for our sacrifice, for our sins. Let us not lose hope in the vision that we have for Jesus Christ and for God Almighty. Let us remain in covenant with him through Christ, through Yeshua. Let us do that. And if we do that, we can change the very fabric of time-space back in this country and restore our once great land. But guys, we are really running out of time. And I'm not being an alarmist. I'm just saying it's getting weird. It's getting bad. And guys, they're going to unleash all hell against Donald Trump. He'll be accused of everything from being a three-headed, fire-breathing giraffe to everything impossible. Everything that ever went wrong with the whole planet, they're going to blame it on Donald Trump. That's what Hillary's going to do. She's going to unleash this incredible battle. Because remember, she's being led by Lucifer and the bunch. They're going to do everything they possibly can to discredit him and prevent him from coming in. And guys, we've got to pray that we find a way to prevent the Diebold election machines from being hacked into as far as the voting machines, and that they don't give this election to her. Because I personally believe, as horrible as Mitt Romney's campaign was 4 years ago, that he won that election. Because we read, all of you read all the articles, that there were multiple districts in swing states that 100% of the vote was for Obama. That's impossible. It doesn't happen. Statistically, it's completely impossible. But this is what they do. They don't have to hack every voting precinct in the United States. But now that they're counting the votes in Washington, D.C., and they don't allow the states to total their own totals anymore, this thing's just getting more and more and more corrupt. We're starting to live in a banana republic like Haiti, for heaven's sakes, or Zimbabwe. And that, you know, this Rothschild group now that's running the money and running and pulling the strings behind the scenes, this giant criminal mafia that's taken over the United States, they're basically doing their will with us and our military all around the world now. And sadly, we've got to take authority. But these guys are not going to go down easily. I mean, Russia and China have found that out. They're fighting with everything they possibly can, including their vast fortunes of fiat money and gold hoards that they've reserved for the past centuries, to try to stand against any assault against them. But guys, listen to me. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. You've got to stand on the scriptures. Because if we all wake up and we all start praying every single day that our country be restored, and we start believing it, guys, it'll make the biggest difference that you've ever seen. And it'll happen quickly too. Very, very quickly. All right, let's do some stories real quick. And I hope you guys don't mind me pontificating here for a bit, because I just really wanted to talk about that for a few minutes ago. Today, of course, ended up being 45 minutes. 3 years ago today, Hastings was killed in a fiery crash when he was investigating the CIA. I want to give him, may he rest in peace. His Mercedes just kind of exploded. I mean, are you kidding me? And they said that this was normal, that it was an accident. I mean, how do you know? And when Mercedes was questioned about this 3 years ago, they said our cars don't explode. And see, guys, Michael Hastings was investigating these CIA guys. And again, these guys don't play by the rules. They do whatever they want to do. They do it however they want to do it, whenever they want to do it. Here's another article. Muslim ingrates, deviants, what do you want to call them, sexually assault a five-year-old little girl in Idaho. Again, the media and the Idaho government has completely put a big shutter on this. A few weeks ago, a five-year-old girl with special needs, with special needs. Are you kidding me? Like, she was like, she was playing outside her home at the Fawnbrook Apartments in Twin Falls, Idaho, when she was taken by knife point to the shared laundry facilities on the premises by three boys from two Muslim refugee families, ages 13, 9, and 8, who sexually assaulted and urinated on her. The 8-year-old is reported to have cut another child's arm with his knife a week before school was adjourned. According to the victim's mother, a trusted neighbor discovered her little daughter with the three boys. Her clothes had been ripped off by the boys, who were also naked, and the 13-year-old had a phone which allegedly held video of the incident. The mother and father of the victim promptly arrived on the scene after being alerted by the neighbor. The video on the phone displayed the sexual assault of the 5-year-old girl. According to the father, he viewed it. I'm not going to tell you what it was horrible. The mother took the victim home immediately, stating she was going to call the police. Shortly after arriving home, the mother of one of the attackers showed up and the victim's home, demanding in broken English, "No police, everything is okay." No, it's not okay. The police were called in and arrived on the scene 2.5 hours later. 2.5 hours later, at which point the cell phone was given to the local authorities. The mother of the victim is also reported receiving threats by two Middle Eastern men. Who told her they will come after her if she pursues the police matter. The Twin Falls Police Department finally made arrests of the two older boys. However, they have not placed a restraining order on the families involved, and even after the request was made by the girl's family. Instead, the perpetrators remain in comfort of their own home and have been spotted running around on the complex grounds. In the meantime, the victim's mother had to find a place where her daughter could be taken care of safely in the immediate aftermath of the trauma, but the family's funds are limited, so the little girl has to stay in the same apartment complex as all three of her attackers. I mean, this goes on and on and on. Now, this city won't even say that these people were Muslims or these immigrants that have been displaced. They refuse to even say what's going on. I mean, this thing is completely and totally nauseating to me that this is going on. And guys, they're bringing them in over 100,000 a year. I mean, it's unbelievable they're coming in. And they're destroying the very fact when Barack, I mean, guys, think about this. Barack Hussein Obama, did we really not think he was a Muslim? I mean, are we that blinded by political correctness that when a guy's name is Barack Hussein Obama and all of his records are sealed and nobody knows his origins or where he has come from, are we really that blinded that we elect a guy like this in who says, I'm going to fundamentally transform the United States of America, which he has done? I'm just get myself in a tizzy. I'm not careful. Six diseases there. Here's another article. Six diseases. This is from Breitbart. Return to us as migration advocates celebrate World Refugee Day. And I'm going to repeat what happened to me a couple of years ago. I was on a man's talk show who's liberal. I was booked on his show. Did not want to do the show. Tried to get out of the show. My publicist insisted that I do the show. I did the show. And he basically told me because I wanted to have these people coming across the border from Mexico screened for diseases that I was a racist. And I said, look, our immigration policies need reform. We've got all kinds of problems with immigration. I said, I'm not talking about stopping immigration. I said, that's the government's going to have to do that. I said, I'm talking about just screening them from a medical standpoint. And all he wanted to do was argue with me. Finally, I kind of unloaded on him and said, look, dude, you need to chill out. And I turned into this big screaming match between the two of us. It was awful. Terrible show. Diseases that have made a return to the United States are tuberculosis. There you go. That's the one we really wanted back. Measles. Well, that's not that big of a deal, but these guys weren't immunized, and the people who get immunizations for measles don't realize that they're not really immune. They've had a vaccine against them, but they're not immune. Whooping cough. Well, there you go. That's back. Mumps, which is bad for guys that get, you know, who are adults who've never had mumps and end up being sterile. Scarlet fever. And my favorite, the one coming back in now, bubonic plague. The near eradication of these diseases in the United States during the 20th century was a remarkable accomplishment. However, they're back. And sadly, these people coming in with these diseases are still not being screened. They're still not being taken care of, and they're being put into our school systems to infect our children. I mean, if you stop and you really think about this, that this government thinks all of this stuff is okay, it absolutely blows my mind, because none of this stuff is okay. It's just not okay. But apparently we think it's all okay because we're continuing to, you know, deal with all this. Here's another article which is not related to immigrants. This is NASCAR veteran Mike Wallace, 57 years of age, and his daughter are brutally attacked by three drunks, is what they were, who kicked the driver in the face and knocked him out after a Rascal Flatts concert. You know, I remember I knew people back in high school, and these are just white rednecks, okay? I can't call them white. Okay, I'm being a racist because I call them white. Well, guess what, guys? They're white rednecks. And they just like to beat people up. And until you understand that there are people that are like that out there that are just complete and total just refuse, this low life, they go out and they pick people to beat up. I mean, here's three guys jump on a 57-year-old man. And I doubt very seriously they knew who he was. And they jump on him, they beat him, they boot stomp him, put him in the hospital, and he was still in the emergency room, and they've already bonded out. Okay, guys, you know, you got to have something better to do than just running around beating people up. I mean, you got to get past that mentality of being an idiot. I mean, don't be an idiot. Stop being like that. I mean, I've known people like that my whole life, and these people just need to be just arrested. And it's always this. They're always one or two or three of them, and they always pick on weak people. And it just saddens me that people are actually like that, and I hope this man recovers quickly. One of the biggest protests in over two decades, over 50,000 Okinawans gather for an anti-U.S. military rally. This is from RT. The rally, which organizers said numbered more than 65,000, including Governor Onaka and officials from the opposition parties, has taken place in Okinawa's capital city, located close to the proximity of the U.S. air bases. Simultaneous solidarity protests took place outside of the national parliament in Tokyo. The demonstrators were protesting against heavy U.S. military presence and grave crimes repeatedly committed by servicemen against the residents. In the most recent case that resonates among the locals, a 20-year-old was murdered by an ex-Marine employee as a civil worker at the U.S. military base. Guys, and here's the thing. We've got to stop this. I mean, we defeated these countries back in 45, and we just put our military bases in, and they operated as satellite states for us. They've lost their rights. Apparently, when they signed these final, these unconditional surrenders, they gave away their sovereignty as far as having our military there forever. Listen to me. Ron Paul is right. We don't need military bases in over 100 countries. It's complete and total nonsense. We need the military back on our soil in the event that something happens here in our country. We don't need to be starting wars and provoking people. You know, the best defense is just a big stick. We got plenty of military weapons. We've got all kinds of space-based platforms. We've got the space-based platforms, which I talked about earlier in the show, the scalar weapons that make nuclear weapons a joke. A joke. They're so powerful. They can knock out silos. They can do anything they want to do. We got the Rod of God weapons. So these giant telephone poles that are just super dense material that can just blow extreme cold through kinetic energy in the body and through the planet and destroy things. We have all kinds of things that we can do that are amazing. I mean, nuclear weapons are old technology from the 30s and the 20s when they started working on this stuff. Almost 100-year-old technology. You know, Tesla was so far ahead of his time with the Wardenclyffe Tower and scalar wave applications, and we've got these phased array, you know, things like HARP up in Alaska, you know, which can generate scalar waves. We got all of this stuff that's so much more stuff than nuclear weapons do. We don't have to go around the planet. Again, this is the captors of the United States doing this. This is not the American people. None of us want to have more wars and more countries and more troops deployed. We don't want that. The American population doesn't want that. In general, they don't want that. The Democrats don't want that. The neocons. Now, the neocons, a lot of them want this, okay? A lot of these guys that are neoconservatives, they also call themselves Zionists. They want to have the ability to control the entire planet, you know, with military and with weapons. Guys, you don't need that. We have the space-based systems, our nuclear weapon arsenal still with all of these missiles. We don't need to have troops everywhere. Just let everybody be alone. You know, I learned a long time ago. You know, I've been married now for 32 years to my wonderful wife. And every time I get around people that have bad marriages, which I don't do very often, but every once in a while I get run into them at church, you always have one or the other person, either the wife or the husband, trying to micromanage the other person. Telling them what to eat, telling them what to drink, telling them what to wear, telling them where to go, telling them how to live. All this stuff. Just micromanage. You can't have a good marriage that way. Nobody wants to be bossed around all the time and told what to do all the time or threatened all the time. It's awful. It's an awful relationship. And here's what I've learned. In German, there's a term. It's called Verrücktlaufen. And what that means is you just let people do what they're going to do and just let them deal with their own consequences and don't try to micromanage them. And I learned a long time ago that my wife and I have a great relationship. We have common values. We go to church every day. We pray together every day. I totally trust her with my life, with anything about my life. I totally trust her with my life. She trusts me with her life. And so when I say certain things to her, like, honey, you can do what you want to do, but I prefer you not to do that. She goes, okay, fine, I won't do that. And if she wanted to do it anyhow, I wouldn't say anything, you know, unless it's some ridiculous thing that she can't do or whatever. But that's, we joke about that. We call that a alpha male override, which means that, you know, I'm going to kind of say, yeah, no, let's not do that. But those are chips you don't want to use very often, guys, if you're just getting married. Those are chips you don't want to marry, that you don't want to use. And of course, my wife, she also has her alpha female override that she can use. And so she say, look, honey, that's not what we want to do. I'm going to do an alpha female override. And I'm like, whatever, I don't care. Because if it's that important to her, we made a little deal a long time ago. We just make sure we work towards each other's goals. In other words, we care more about the other person than we care about ourselves. Hence, we've been married for 32 years. We've got such a great marriage. We love each other more now than we did. We got married 32 years ago. And, you know, she's my co-host on the show on Sunday night. And you guys know that if you listen to the show, we've got a really, really, really good relationship. So you've got to learn. You've got to choose well when you get married. You can't try to change people. You have to let the Holy Spirit do that. But better yet, why don't you choose somebody who you don't have to change when you get married to them? So I told Savannah today, my 13-year-old, I said, look, if you go out with somebody, they want to ask you out on a date when you're in college, first thing you need to ask them is, where do you go to church? She goes, well, why would I do that? I said, well, because number one, you need to find out if they go to church. If they don't go to church, there's no reason to pursue that relationship. Because why do you want to try to convert somebody who's a heathen? Why do you want a missionary date? I said, there's no point in that. I said, secondly, you have to ask them what faith they are. If they're not a Christian faith, you know, you don't want to have to deal with that, because now you're going to have conflict with all of that. And I said, just choose well and just work together as a team, and life really works out well. So anyhow, that's my little story of the day. Here's Rio declare state of a public calamity, and it warns of a total collapse in security and health and transport. This is from Zero Hedge. Just 49 days before the start of the Olympics. Get me some tickets for that. The Rio state government declared a state of public calamity, whatever that means, a warning of a risk of total collapse in public security, health, transportation, and virtually everything else because, as the local government explained, the financial crisis... Oh, that's right. Obama said we're not in a financial crisis. Oh, that's right. It's preventing it from fulfilling its requirements for the games. In other words, the money's gone. They're broke. As a result of the ongoing economic and now political catastrophe in the country, the 2016 Olympics may never happen in the country gripped by what may be the worst depression in its history. Oh, yeah, and that whole Zika thing? Finally, by declaring a state of public calamity, the state government of Rio claims to get access to federal cash if there's any cash left. In the Venezuela schools now, there's no teachers, there's no food, and the violence is causing these schools to fail. Again, another third world country that was locked into communism, and now they see the full effect of this, especially when they want to get their gold back from the central bank in England from the Rothschild Group. Obama effectively restarts the Afghan combat operations a year after officially ending them. Okay, here's what's happened. The Taliban's come back in, and they started trying to burn poppy fields again. That's my opinion. I can't prove that. I wasn't there. I wasn't taking the video of this. But they have to maintain the poppy crop. They have to maintain the heroin. And if they don't, they've got to come back in, and they've got to take control and send more troops in. They are now basically approval to allow U.S. commanders in Afghanistan to conduct offensive airstrikes against the Taliban and other insurgent groups, and to let the American troops restart joint ground operations with Afghan forces. This will go on forever in Afghanistan, until we stop this drug trade, until we stop it, and we stop the CIA from bringing this stuff in. And we stop this Operation Gladiator.